بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وآله وصحبه ومن والاه، أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We move on to another hadith that illustrates the importance of attaining khushu', and khushu' means submissiveness and concentration in prayer. It means that your heart is present and it's not wandering somewhere else. And it also means that your movement are restricted to the movement of prayer. So if I see someone's praying and every time he's doing this, he's doing that, he's scratching and playing with himself in a friendly way, that is, this is not a sign of khushu'. And anything that distracts you in prayer, if it is realistic and logic, you should try to avoid it. And why do I say if it's realistic and logical? Because sometimes shaitan whispers to you that this or that is distracting you and it may take you out of the loop of following the sunnah. In the sense that there are people who may complain that the noise in the masjid distracts them, that the air conditioning distracts them, that the smell of socks of worshippers in front of them when they prostrate, or the smell of the carpet, or this or that distracts them. So what do you want? He says, it's best for me to pray in my home where I'm not distracted and I attain 100% of khushu'. What do we say to this man? We tell him that you have gone against the sunnah and shaitan is playing with you big time. Why? Because now you're making a sin for something that is or is not achievable. This might be achievable, this may not be achievable. Besides, at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, did they have similar things that distracted them? Yes. In the masjid, the Prophet, as you remember, once sallallahu alaihi wasallam completed his prayer in a hasten way, very quickly. Why? Because he heard the cry of a child and he was afraid that his mother's heart would be broken. You know, when a mother is praying and her child is crying, what would the mother feel? Very bad. And she wants the prayer to be concluded quickly so that she can hold her child and attend to his needs. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ continued his prayer quickly. Did the Prophet ﷺ, after justifying and explaining this, why did he finish it quickly? Did he say, O people, when you come to the masjid, don't bring your infants with you? No. Did he reprimand the woman? You woman, don't fear Allah, you should have stayed home? No. And from this we learn another etiquette. What would happen if a child cries in the masjid in the men's section and his father is next to him and he cries and a child cries? Can you stop a child when he cries? Maybe if you choke him to death, maybe. But other than that, the child doesn't understand. That is why he's a child and you're a grown up. After the prayer concludes, what would the people do? They'd shout at the man, why did you bring a child? You don't fear Allah, you did this. And they make a lot of chaos and disturbance in the masjid. I was once in my masjid praying Isha. And during the prayer, a child started to cry. And started to cry sincerely. Not, you know, playing. No, as if it was hurt. And after I concluded the prayer, I followed the sunnah. I prayed in a very quick manner without disturbing the prayer, but instead of saying Subhana Rabbi al-A'la 10 times, I said it 3 times. Enough for the worshippers to say what is mandatory. And I completed the prayer very quickly. After the prayer ended, immediately one old man in his mid-50s started shouting at the man who had 2 girls with him. One was about 5 beautiful girls, about 5 years old, and the second one was about 2.5 or 3 years old. Of course, the 5 years old is the mother. Is trying to make her sister stop, but she's a 5 years old. And the 2.5 years old would not stop even if you do whatever you want to do. So the man was shouting, "You don't fear Allah, you don't keep them home, don't come, don't." The man did not say anything. In reply, he took his daughters and left. I immediately went out from the Imam's door and I met the man outside. And I apologized for him. And I said, "My brother, forgive this old man. He is one of the regulars who come to the masjid. But, yani, you know, when you're old, you become short-tempered. And this is a very bad thing." The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, "The best of you are those who their ages are prolonged and their deeds are good. And a third characteristic that a lot of the Muslims don't know in the hadith, and their characteristics are good. Morally, and the way they behave with the people is good. Their character is good." So people usually attain the first two. They're so old, mashallah, and they have a lot of good deeds, but their character is as bad as it can be. The older they get, the short-tempered, the cursing, and not able to communicate. You know this from your grandfathers and grandmothers, except those whom Allah blessed them. So I apologized for the man being the Imam, and I tried to reconcile and make him feel better. By Allah, the man broke into tears. He started to cry. You know, outside, there's only me and him. No one else, because it's outside the masjid. And he said, "Sheikh, what can I do? Tell me, it's been almost 6 months. I'm trying to propose to families to find a new wife to these kids that would take care of them. And no one is accepting. My wife, the mother of the girls, left me and sought divorce. And I'm on my own. What to do? I can't leave them alone and come to masjid. So they're 24 hours with me in the car, in the home, wherever I go. What to do?" And he went on crying. So I said to myself, subhanallah, we always judge people. If we had the courtesy, if we had the wisdom to give them the proper excuse. Now the old man inside, if he knew, would he have said what he had said? No. But subhanallah, we always jump to the gun. We always jump to conclusions and we execute accordingly. So khushu' is extremely important, and it has to be logical and probable, not something that is made up. It has to be in accordance to the sunnah so that people would not leave prayer completely. I remember one of my relatives, close relatives, subhanallah, he was a da'i. He used to give sermons in different types of masjids. And one day something happened to him that made him flip. And before long, he started to pray in the house. So I visited him. And I said, "My friend, what are you doing?" He said, "In the masjid, I cannot attain khushur. I cannot concentrate. So many people coughing, sneezing, children playing at the back. The air conditioning is not on time. There are smells. There are this, there are that. So I decided to pray home where I can fully attain my khushur." And I told him that this is not permissible, what the Prophet said, but he didn't listen. Few months later, he started to pray in a separate room. His mother complained to me. He said, he doesn't pray in any place in the house. There's a designated room for his prayer. No one enters it. And I told him that this is forbidden to take a mosque in your house. This is the doing of the Jews. It's not permissible. He said, "No, this place, I'm sure it's clean. No one comes in. I have full khushu' in it." He was not convinced. Few months later, I was told that he only prays when he turns off the AC and the lights. And when I spoke to him, he said, "This is the best way of attaining khushu'. There's no light, no distractions, I can't see anything, and I feel as if I am in the grave." Look at the footsteps that shaitan is making him do. And by Allah, few months later, he abandoned prayer altogether. He stopped praying. And unfortunately, soon afterwards, he died. So look how shaitan plays with you. If you don't follow the sunnah, wallah, he plays with you immensely, greatly. He has full control of you, because you are not abiding by the Quran and the Sunnah. So khushu' is the core and the soul of the prayer that you have to try your best to get. How to do this? We will get some of hints when we go through Hadith 130. And who will read it for us, inshallah?
Narrated Aisha radhiyallahu anha, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed in a khamisa, a square garment, having marks. During the prayer, he looked at its marks. So when he finished the prayer, he said, "Take this khamisa of mine to Abu Jahm and get me his in Bijaniya, a woolen garment without marks, as it, the khamisa, has diverted my attention from the prayer."
This hadith, Mother Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, tells us that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam received a gift from Abi Jahm, one of the companions who gave the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam a gift. When the Prophet wore it, which was a square piece of cloth with drawings on it, of course, drawings of marks or of houses or anything that is not alive, permissible drawings, markings that are permissible, because we know that it is not permissible to wear something with a picture on it, like people wearing a t-shirt with a picture of a singer or a wrestler or of a footballer. This is haram. So the Prophet prayed in it alayhi salatu wasalam and was distracted by what was in it. What did the Prophet do alayhi salatu wasalam? This is what we'll find after the break, so stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he prayed with that khamisa, when he prayed, he was distracted by the colors, by the drawings, by the markings. So when he finished prayer, he immediately took it off and told his companions, "Take it to Abu Jahm." Abu Jahm is the one who actually gave it to the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Now look at the wisdom and the kindness and the mercy of our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. If you gave the Prophet something and he returned it to you, how would you feel? I would feel miserable. The Prophet is rejecting my gift. This means that there is something wrong in me. The Prophet doesn't love me. But the Prophet did not do this. He said, "Take it to Abu Jahm and bring me his imbijaniya," which is something made of wool. And it's harsher, harder, and it has no markings. So the Prophet wanted to compensate Abu Jahm for returning his gift by asking him for another gift, which is lower in price and value, due to the fact that he did not want to break his heart. And at the same time, he did not want to pray with something that would distract him. So this did happen, and he was brought with the anbijaniya sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, which would not distract him while in prayer. Now, there are a number of things that would cause you to attain khushu' in salat. And this is the first and by far the most question we are always asked about. How can I attain khushu' in salat? How can I get khushu' in salat? I don't know. I wish I knew. Well, actually, we know, but it is difficult to implement. Among the things that help you to attain khushu' in salat is to pray to a screen, a sutra. Because if you remember, we took a class about sutra and the ruling of it. When you pray to a sutra, this makes your vision restricted. It doesn't wander around. And this makes your heart also restricted, that it would not wander around. Also, seeking Allah's refuge from the shaitan. Because what causes you not to have khushu' in salat? Shaitan. And what is the name of the shaitan who comes in salat? Khinzab. His name is Khinzab. We also know his name. So we know that he is distracting us from prayer, and we know him by name. If we can, we can arrest him. Unfortunately, we can't. So when you seek Allah's refuge from the shaitan, Allah would grant you this. When you contemplate in the different forms of dhikr and in the verses of the Quran, this elevates your khushu' to the highest levels. Remember when we said, when you say Allahu Akbar, how many times do we say Allahu Akbar in a day? And the significance of that that Allah is greater than anything you can imagine. Also, when you recite the Fatiha, when you say Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, you know for certain that Allah is responding to you by saying Hamadani Abdi, my servant has praised me. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Allah responds to that and says, my servant has complimented me. So when you pray and you say this and you contemplate in it, then this adds a lot of khushu' to your qira'ah, to your recitation and to your prayer. Rather than those who say Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Rahman, Rahim, Malikam, Dini, Yakam, 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 and they finish. They're not getting there or not even getting close to it. Among the things that grants you khushu' is to free your heart. And how can I do that? You remember that it is forbidden or it is highly not recommended to pray while you are in the state of hunger and the food is being served, or you are fighting the urge to answer the call of nature. So those who are fighting the urge for the call of nature and they pray, would they attain khushu'? The only thing they're thinking of, when is the prayer going to be over so that I can go to the toilet? So you have to free yourself. You have to go to the prayer not thinking of what you will be doing afterwards. Because if you're thinking of going shopping, while in the ruku' you say, okay, they want 2 kilos of oranges or one, I forgot. Sami'allahu liman hamidah, is it low-fat yogurt or full-fat? Allahu Akbar, and you keep on thinking of what you're going to do afterwards. Can you attain khushu'? Your khushu' is zero. So there are a lot of things that would help you attain khushu', but some of them is this hadith of Abu Jahm's Khamisa and Imbijaniya. From this hadith and other hadiths also, the scholars say it is highly not recommended, if not forbidden, to decorate masjids. Imagine. Decorating masjids are not recommended in Islam. And some go even to the extent to say that it is forbidden. And what do we mean by decorating the masjid? When you are going to beautify the masjid, what are you going to do? You're going to put chandeliers, you're going to put signs on the wall, marbles, you're going to use extravagant things in the masjid. Is this part of Islam? Nope. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said in the authentic hadith, if you decorate your masjids and beautify your copies of the Quran, then destruction will befall upon you. Imagine. And this is what's happening in the Arab world, in the Muslim world. When they build mosques, they pay 4 or 5 times more than what is needed to build a normal mosque. They bring from different countries of the world decoration in the Qibla, and they write verses of the Quran. كُلَّمَا دَخَلَ عَلَيْهَا زَكَرِيَّ الْمِحْرَابِ وَجَدَ عِنْدَهَا رِزْقًا. They write the verses regarding Zakaria and Maryam, Mary, when he entered to her prayer hall and he found provisions. What does this have to do with us? Because it contains the word mihrab. So they write this in the prayer place of the imam. And all of this is innovation, it's bid'ah. Some of them go to the extent to write Allah, and the other corner they write Muhammad. And this is haram. This is making Muhammad, peace be upon him, equivalent to Allah. If you say Allahu la ilaha illa hu, for example, and then Muhammadur Rasulullah, it's a different issue. But even writing that is an innovation, is a bid'ah. And one would claim, okay, then why is it in the Haramain? Why is it in Mecca and Medina? This is not the doing of the scholars. And this is not approved by the scholars. This is the doing of the Turks. 300 or 200 years ago, and it remained as it is. And sometimes maybe they fear that if they remove it, this would cause more chaos and damage, because the ignorant people, the ignorant Muslims, would consider this to be an insult to the two holy mosques rather than honoring them. So they would accuse those in authority to be hateful to the Prophet, as they usually do. As they usually try to tarnish our reputation by you're not loving the Prophet alayhi salam, you're not doing this, you're not doing that, not knowing that loving the Prophet alayhi salatu was salam is only, and I mean only, displayed by following him. And those people who claim that we do not love the Prophet alayhi salam, they're the furthest away from following the Prophet alayhi salatu was salam by being part of the deviant sects around us. Therefore, decorating the masjids is not something permissible because it calls for the distraction of people. If your garment distracts you, if the garment distracted the Prophet ﷺ, how would it be then if you have carpets with decorations and markings in front of you when you're looking at them? What will happen? You'll start to look here and there and wander around. If you have tiles and if you have verses of the Quran, people as well would raise their heads and look around them, and this is not permissible. Also from this hadith we learn that if a man wears a plain dress like I'm wearing, it's permissible. And if a man wears a t-shirt or a shirt with markings with different colors, this is also permissible because the Prophet ﷺ had done it, providing it does not have anything with soul. So you cannot have a drawing of a dog or of a horse because these are animals, and you cannot have drawings of human beings or of birds, etc. Yes, brother.
It's just not necessary the designs of the character. Sometimes it is the wordings also, lines which are written. Like somebody is in my front row offering salah and I am behind the person, and the kirat is Surah Fatiha is being recited, I am in that and I see the wordings. I love New York, honesty is the... So I get distracted. So, you know, will it affect my... Should it affect my prayer? Because is it an addition?
It will affect your prayer if you're distracted. But we cannot tell people not to write on their t-shirts. If someone writes on his t-shirt something that is permissible, there is nothing wrong in that. Yes, if he writes... Some of them writes, I love you, O Prophet of Allah. And one who's praying looks at it and he reads it. It's your problem in looking at it, because you should have looked at the place where you prostrate. You're making your eyes wander. So what is the ruling on wearing t-shirts with writings on them? If the writings are okay, this is permissible. Once I remember seeing a girl with her mother walking in the market in Saudi Arabia, and the girl had writings on English on the t-shirt. And I was shocked because I know that the mother doesn't know what's written. And I cannot go and tell her because that is would be even a worse offense. It was written on the girl's t-shirt, if you think I'm cute, wait until you see my mother. And the mother was with her. I know this is an invitation. But the mother definitely did not know what it meant in Arabic. So the writing is okay. It's your mistake not to look where you're supposed to look. This is all the time we have. Until we meet next time, fi amanillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.